Joining us now, he writes for Forbes.com. He's a regular every Sunday. We love getting his report, and that is Barry Bloom. Barry, how are you today?
I'm doing great. Another beautiful Sunday afternoon for baseball. I'm in Anaheim today.
Is Sunday, does that mean it's Ohtani Sunday?
No, Ohtani Sundays have gone by the board a long time ago already. He's out of joint when it comes to this stuff. I mean, they're talking about him pitching on Wednesday night against the Royals, and that'll be only his second start in 17 days. At this point, they're really babying his elbow.
So, Barry, you're down in Anaheim. We guess we'll keep it down there. We'll talk a little Mike Trout. People are saying Mike Trout's on pace right now to have the best season in the history of baseball. He's on pace right now for 51 homers and 34 steals, which would be the most steals in a 50-home-run season. What are you seeing from Trout so far?
Well, I mean, part of it is that, you know, he weathered a little bit of a slump earlier in the month or late last month, and he played himself through it. But I think what really stands out is that, and I just talked to him about it today, is his defensive metrics, that essentially he's getting to balls even better than he did in the past, and that his defensive metrics are much better this year than they were last year. I mean, obviously, he's the consummate total ball player, and I think of the young players in the game, where you go Harper, Goldschmidt, you know, these guys, Posey, I mean, I think he's emerged as by far the best player in the game among that group.
How do you keep Mookie Betts out of that equation?
I don't think he's done it as long as those guys. I mean, he's a guy who's gotten better and better, but I look at the totality of a career, and up until this year, I mean, Goldschmidt has really been very consistent, and really Trout has too. I mean, Harper's had his ups and downs, but yeah, I wouldn't argue with putting Betts in it.
Yeah, Goldschmidt finally hit a home run yesterday, but he's been struggling mightily this year. The American League has been kind of a powerhouse so far. I mean, outside of the Central, the East is tough. You've got a few teams in the West that have been tough. Right now, you got three teams in the American League, the Red Sox, Yankees, and Astros, all on pace for 100 wins. It's never happened before.
Right. I mean, I think if you look at, you know, even the wild card races and whatever in the American League, that it's essentially, aside from something catastrophic happening, you've already separated everybody. I mean, it's Yankees, Red Sox in the East. One of those teams is going to be is the first wild card. The Indians are going to wind up running away with their division again. The Astros are going to win their division. And then you have a race in the West where right now the Mariners, Angels, and the A's are all involved in it. Even the A's have a shot at the second wild card in the American League. Conversely, though, when you look at the National League, the whole league is wide open. The wild card races are wide open. Division races are pretty much wide open. You know, there's no way of picking the National League at this point.
Hey, I know you're down in Anaheim, and I was thinking about this, Albert Pujols. And I realize the skills are different than they were at the Cardinals and, you know, the 10-year contract and all that. But he really is closing on some historic numbers. Why doesn't he get more love?
You know, it's a good question. I think, you know, we talked about this around the time about a month ago when he went past 3,000 hits. He's like at 3,023 right now. I think if this had happened in St. Louis, it would be a different story. I mean, he's a transplanted, you know, star who's never really, I think, gotten traction and love here in Anaheim. You know, people, when he was around the 600 homer and he hit it here, it wasn't a big deal. You know, he had a whole homestand where he closed in on 3,000. It wasn't that much of a big deal. Then he wound up getting that hit on the road in Seattle. I think that's part of the thing with Albert. But when, to your point, I mean, he's like 8 home runs away from Griffey, and when he passes Griffey, he's going to be in the top 6 home runs of all time. And right now, he's among only three or four who've had 600 home runs and 3,000 hits. You know, it's a incredible career for him. And you know, every time it looks like he's starting to taper off, he works his butt off and he winds up getting into a streak where he's hitting the ball a lot better, which is what he's doing right now.
Well, I love it. I think when you look back on his career, he is the guy for this era. It's going to be incredible. But, he signed a 10-year deal in Anaheim, and I think that changed his life.
Well, he also wouldn't have been playing regularly in the National League. I mean, let's face it, with his foot injuries and everything he's had to cope with since he came to the American League, the fact that there's a DH gives him the ability to even continue his career. As a regular fielder in the National League, it just wouldn't have happened.
Hey, Arizona's coming in tomorrow, and it's Buchholz on Wednesday, Bumgarner on Tuesday night, Corbin, Godley, Holland. This is going to be some few games with the Diamondbacks. How do you like what's coming up here?
Well, I think it's interesting. You know, the Diamondbacks were on a skid, and, you know, the Reds and the Marlins came in, and that really helped them. It's amazing to me. I mean, Buchholz has made a handful of starts already. He's looked good at every start, considering where he's come from. The fact that they were able to pick him up and he's helped them has really been a major accomplishment in the last couple of weeks. So, I mean, their pitching is good. They're still looking for Ray to come back. They've got Shelby Miller on the way back on a minor league rehab from Tommy John surgery. At some point, I think by the end of June, he'll probably be in the major leagues. That'll help. And then you get back to Goldschmidt, where, as you said, he hit a home run last night, but that doesn't really make much of a difference. He's a 200 hitter since he hurt his elbow last September, and basically hasn't straightened himself out.
Boy, I'm excited for this week. I think it's going to be a good week of baseball. It's finally, it's sort of a meaningful series for me. I realize it's only June, but the Giants have made a little bit of resurgence here. Bumgarner's coming back. Diamondbacks are starting to hit a little bit more. Maybe there's a little cachet with this series, so we'll see how that turns out. Barry, we do a podcast every Wednesday now called Mid-Inning Relief, and you can check it out on iTunes. One of the questions we asked, it's kind of fun, Carmen Alley and we do it, me and Adam is with us last week as well. If you could buy a ticket and sit in any part of the ballpark, where would be your favorite part to sit in a baseball park?
You know, I grew up behind the plate in the upper deck at Yankee Stadium, and those were general admission tickets. They were $1.50. My father, when he took me as a kid, I made him buy reserve seats, and they were always under the deck, or sort of behind a pole. Behind the upper deck was like the greatest seat. So I basically then, over the course of the years when I wasn't working, I sat in the upper deck at Tiger Stadium, sat in the upper deck at the Polo Grounds, sat in the upper deck behind home plate at Comiskey Park, especially the older parks and some of the newer ones. They're built so close to the field, you felt like you could bend over and touch the catcher on the head. So, I mean, that's my favorite place in the ballpark because it gives me an expansive view of the entire field. And I understand, you know, listening to your podcast, I understand your point of view. Sitting the closer you get, you see the quickness of the game, and that's the case in any sport. I mean, when you're down on press row in an NBA game, when it used to be on the sideline, the game is so much faster than when you're sitting upstairs. And if you're on the glass in a hockey game, it's the same thing. It just it increases in pressure and in speed. But I just like the whole scope of behind the plate and the upper deck.
Oh, great. Love it. Hey, great to have you on as always. Giants and Nationals next week. And maybe we'll see Scherzer. And love having you on. Thanks, Barry.
You're welcome, man. It should be a great week, as you said.
Yeah. This is the first meaningful series, I think, that actually has a little bit of a connotation of, you know, the division or what have you. And this is the first one we're going to see this year. And it's coming up starting Monday. All right, Barry Bloom, Forbes.com. More coming up right now on the Sports Leader.